the Vanguard Academy board meeting. Today's Tuesday, April 25th, 2017. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll do a roll call first. This is Kent Johnson, Board Chair.
Marie Evans, Assessment.
Kathleen Kingston, Assistant Director.
Grace Mitchell,
Treasurer. Aaron Jenkins, Board Member.
Kim Mangum, Board Member.
Eric Freeman, Board Member.
Stephanie Evans, Minute Taker.
Suzanne Owen, Director.
David Kingston, Vice Chair.
Okay, so the first, we'll go ahead and open it up for public comments. If there's any public comments, anybody's here for public comments, we'll go ahead and move to the next item to approve the minutes from last time. If you want to go ahead and read the minutes, if you don't have a copy, we've got copies over here. Anybody need a copy?
Yeah, I need a copy.
Anybody else need a copy? Go ahead and read through that. Okay.
Motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
So all in favor of approving these minutes, say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, say no. So the minutes have been approved. We'll go through the action items. So the first one is the reference app that has the detail of the walkthrough in the next month's summary. Did we get that? That was on Joy. Joy's not here, so we'll go on to the next one. Get the stair tripping hazard fixed.
So we trimmed it up. Kim trimmed up a little bit. I trimmed up the bottom stair a little bit more, which was more glaring. We did get two bids. I discussed with Kathleen, and we believe that we will accept the bid from Sierra, but we want to verify that. Prior to
approving
that, so. And we have to look at the budget to make sure that will.
How much was the bid on it?
We looked at three different types of flooring. One would be carpet, the other would be the vinyl, the other would be rubber. Rubber is about three times the price. Carpet is the least expensive, and I don't even have it in front of me right now, but I believe it was right around $9,000. It could have been not so much, but I think it was right around there.
That's carpet?
Yeah.
And what's the life on it?
It's a 10-year. Yeah. The rubber is lifetime, and the vinyl is about a 15 to 20, if I remember right. I did talk to both some cleaning companies, or people in cleaning companies, plus our custodian that's with... what's the name of our cleaning company?
Advanced
Building Care. They all recommended that we stay with carpet because of slip and trip or slip and fall hazard and cleaning, ease of cleaning.
Who was the other bid with? Besides Sierra?
We've got one from O'Brien Maintenance. We called Home Depot just to kind of see what they could do. They would charge to even come out and look at it, and they said that, anyway, we opted not to get a bid that we had to pay for. So so we were going to look at other flooring companies and see if there was another one around, try to get three bids, but.
Okay, so that should be resolved shortly then.
Yes.
So, then block that off then. The next item is to look into what classrooms we will need for the upcoming year.
And tentatively, we will need the same classrooms we are using now, with the potential of using the South Room as a classroom for the choir. Other than that, with part-time teachers and the block schedule, we're able to accommodate all classes in the rooms we're using right now.
So the South Room on the second floor?
Yes.
Okay, is that, do we feel comfortable with the needs then?
Yeah.
So that can be checked off.
Yeah.
And did we need to add another exit or stairwell?
That's still, that's next line item on the action required, and I don't know for sure on that, even, you know, because we are using it for a concert hall, and we're using one classroom down there and looking at putting a second one down there. So we will for sure need to be down there with at least the one choir class. Hmm.
I didn't go down there and walk it through to see what was going on, but we were like 27 people with the existing exits that we had available, counting based on square footage, not on actual occupancy. So it's debatable. I mean, you could argue the fact that there's no additional people, and they're just going down there and they come back here and exit through these existing exits. I don't think there's a problem with travel distance. But you could also argue that once you use that space, you need the extra exits, and it's two exits in order to use the whole space.
So we're talking about this need because we're using the choir room next year, or the south end for the choir?
Well, I understood it was if we're using it even as our concert hall.
So there's two exits from that room.
There is two exits from that room, and so if you just use it as council, I mean, you could argue both ways. The only way to know would be have the billing official make a determination on it. We could tell them what we're doing, and ask them to make that determination. They would use my advice on that, but to influence what they decide. So my gut feeling is that we're not creating a higher risk because we're not really adding lots more people to the building. And if they all had to exit, there's plenty of exits for them to go out. Yeah. It's just that it's a technical question. I mean, it's a judgment call. The code is specific. We're
within code, yes?
No. We're in a gray area. And we're not using the whole area. And we're only using for part of stuff. Like I said, we've got 27 more people we could use. How many people in the choir class?
Up to, I think the biggest class is like 36 to 40.
Yeah, and that's how many more people we had to exit from the building based on this space, this side.
But wasn't, when we first did that, wasn't that based upon our full occupancy of 450 students?
It was based on the square footage of the school. I have to go look at the numbers exactly, but
okay.
It was based on the square footage of the school. It's not based on how many people are here. There's two ways to do occupancy. One is by square footage, because they can't control it, so they look at what it likely is.
Any recommendations, or do we think we can check it off? Or?
Is there a risk of, if we have a fire inspection, are they going to come in and say we're violating code and shut it down? Is there any risk of that happening?
Always there's a risk. I don't think it's very high.
So do you think it would be prudent for us to just move forward as is, or to get a building official to come in?
The most correct thing would be to talk to the building official.
See what they say.
So is that something that you could set up for us, or that we could set up?
No, it is something that I could set up. I'm booked for the next 4 weeks.
I think that would be fine, even if, because if we're looking at it, we're looking at it for
I think we should
summer.
Be sure. Okay, so we can change the action to me talking to the building official.
So let's say his findings are that we do need another exit. Do we have time
then
to get it ready for next year?
It's funding, because if you built the two, if you wanted to fully utilize this, the area, or use another one additional exit, fully utilize the area, we need two exits. So we're going to add stairs on the south and stairs on the west. And it's hard to say we're going to partially use the area if it's not separated. Because right now it's separated with the firewall.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need the rest of the area. Well, next year, are we going to add another class or are we... Or not.
We are adding another class, but there is the option. We have the room just below this one that could be used as that class, so
mm-hmm.
it would just be one class in that area if we chose to do that. So there is a little bit of wiggle room that we have on that.
If we actually did add that extra exit, if the building inspector said that we needed that extra exit, just a rough estimate, ballpark figure what it would take to do that.
Oh, I loved it in ballpark figures. Let me see, I'll buy you two.
You're really conservative.
2.5 times. Let me see. I'm going to do a calculation. Okay, I have an idea. So let me see. Still think of reverse polish.
I got an HP if you need it.
That looks better. I would say between 45 and 60,000.
And what would be a time frame to get a job like that done?
You need a month to do the drawings. A month we could do it, no problem. You probably need a month to do the permitting. Probably need 3 months to build it.
So we're into the next school year before we could have it done, even if it was determined we needed it.
Okay. If we're actively pursuing trying to decide what to do there, then it should be happy with that.
Well, and like I said, the only problem right now is they have signed up for a 4-week, 60 hours a week for our project, so
mm-hmm.
not available to wander around and talk to the film.
Yeah.
If it's not used for a classroom down there, because, like I say, we have this counseling center or the old counseling center that could potentially be a choir room, and we have the room downstairs that could be a choir room. But that's our concert hall. Does the using it as a concert hall require the
using it as a concert hall? We could argue that we're not using it as a concert hall when we're using the school.
Uh-huh.
So we're using the exits that are available.
So it's either or.
So we're not using them both at the same time.
Okay.
But currently we don't have permission to use that in a building officially.
Okay.
So is that, would you want to take that approach as far as using
it
as a concert hall?
I'd like to have that be a consideration, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So we would just have to present some drawings, and I might really get something next when I'm back.
Okay. So it may be wise for us to really plan two alternatives, one without using that south room as a classroom at all,
mm-hmm.
and the other with using it.
Yeah, I have somebody in my office that totally understands it, so we might be on that.
Okay.
Put some things in.
So as far as the item, we'll just kind of leave it on, change it to follow up on that.
Yeah.
And then Okay, the next one's a good one. So let's come up with the how
not,
are we going to
I
do
that? I don't remember that.
How did we do?
We're doing
I think we're
well.
Doing so awesome. So.
We do include excellence in everything we do.
So that's awesome.
That's who we are.
And if there's not a plan with steps, is it going to work?
Yeah, that's.
I really, truly am confused by what this action item is, what I'm supposed to be doing with it.
I think it was some of the last things.
I'll go back to where the birth of the whole idea. When we were doing the charter, one of the things we talked about was how do we, it wasn't just, excellence wasn't the word we used, it's the one we came up with last time we talked. And what we did at Kennecott is they have a safety culture, and every time they meet in any meeting, they talk about safety. And they say, what is a zero harm share today? What's our safety share today? And so everybody knows that one of the most important things in that culture is safety, because you always bring it up. You always talk about it. You always spend a moment talking about it. So the way that, and then pretty soon you believe it. And the reason it works is because when people feel like, the reason safety works, well, I don't know how excellence, we'll talk about that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
The reason safety works is because when people feel like the company cares about their safety and it's for real, they talk about everything else. They talk about how we make the company work better. They talk about how we be safe, but they don't just talk about how we be safe, they talk about how we make the company better, how we make improvements. And because it becomes, it's what our vocabulary is. So the thought is that if you have an excellence is our culture, then every meeting, including ours here, when we start this, we talk about, well, let's talk about something that can make us excellent at what we do, excellent as a human being, excellent as an engineer, excellent as a board member. And so somebody volunteers, who is in charge of the meeting, has to take it if somebody else doesn't volunteer. Then somebody says, well, let's talk about excellence today. And the simple idea is the bank president picks up the paperclip. Why is that excellence when it seems like it costs more money? When you talk about that, I mean, why is it? Why would you go pick up a paperclip? It's going to cost more money for that guy to pick it up than to throw it away. What, I mean, here's our story, let's talk about it. Why is that excellence? We all accept it, but let's understand why that is excellence. But that's how the culture works. Every time you meet together, you talk about excellence. And maybe excellence is the wrong word, but it is a good word. I think it fits. So that's it, and you just say, okay, that's what we're going to do from now on. And everybody goes, excellence? Really? We talk about excellence? Yeah, because excellence, our school, that's us. It's a campaign, and it becomes part of your culture.
Okay. Does that, I wonder if we've got to have, start with an outline kind of recommendation on how to, because even in this one, maybe we should be prepared next time to start with it.
It's easy, because we could just say, okay, let's do it right now. Why is it excellent to pick for a president to pick up the paperclip? Somebody have any ideas? Why is that an excellent behavior?
Character. Taking care of the business. Taking ownership of the company.
That's
the
example.
See? So everybody's buying into this little thing. We already did, but we didn't. Maybe didn't know. We know why, but we haven't verbalized it. So we verbalize it, it becomes part of you. And you know, oh no, the meeting's going to start. I wonder if I'm going to be called on to say something that's about excellence. I have to think about it, because whoever's in charge might ask me, do you talk about something about excellence today? How to become excellent community members. You can even change the campaign. This month we're talking about our community service. This month we're talking about a student. This month we're talking about the opposite of bullying, of being a friend instead of being a bully. So you can pick some character. Because character is what we originally talked about when we were doing. I think character was the original thing we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Excellence, I think, sounds better. That's how you do it. It's always part of what you do. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. I just saw those words and I just really couldn't think what I was supposed to do on that.
You have to tie.
Well, we did start by saying the
mission statement
in our staff meeting. So she did do that after the last board meeting. We did start doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And
the clues to remember is you're making a culture. It's who you are. And to do that, one effort that you take is every single meeting you do it.
Every assembly, every podcast,
every group meeting, every teacher meeting, every... This is how you start things.
Yeah.
It's like, you remember when people used to pray before they started meetings? It's similar to that because praying brings people into a same thought process typically. That's a similar analogy.
Okay. Why don't we leave it on and just kind of see how we're doing? Just kind of remind me.
Okay.
Does that sound okay to everybody?
It would be really interesting as if it was a campaign, but it was silently dispensed. And then you start talking. How can we do this every time? And they start asking. And you tell them. Because that's who we are, right?
Yeah.
And they go, oh, yeah. When you first did safety, I'm sorry, I don't take too long. When you first did safety, you thought, oh, really? Yeah, we want to be safe. After a while, you buy it because you believe the administration, you believe the management. That's what they really think.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think it. And then you buy in because it's real. You can't not.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll go ahead and leave that on just as an update. And then
okay.
We can decide next time.
So if you write next to it, write prayer, starting opening prayer, write culture, then you'll remember exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, I think that's everything on the minutes and the open points. We'll take the next item on the agenda is director's report.
And I think what I wanted to do is kind of include the HR report because we talked a little bit already about facilities and where we're going with that. And the HR report I shared with you, so it should be in the folder if you have access to it. I sent it to the printer and the printer was jammed and I didn't take time to unjam. But if you have that folder that was shared with you, the Google folder that Stephanie shared, then you should see the list of my proposed staffing.
Is it in the director's report folder?
Yeah.
Cool.
I tried to access it through the email, but
I didn't. Let me go see if I can unjam the machine. Sorry, Miss.
I can do it, Suzanne.
If I can get it here.
Sure, I don't really have much else. I'm counting.
Okay.
The enrollment hasn't changed, so that was as we did last time. We had it on the same sheet with the budget and the enrollment. So on the right hand side is the enrollment, and we have had information from the state that they will allow a 3% over enrollment.
Oh, okay.
So with the numbers, so if you look at it, we have 467 students enrolled right now. And so that is over that by just, I think, 12 students puts us at that 3%, and we would have 17 right there. So we're still looking at, we're going through the data to see whether what we need to do, or whether we need to just do a lottery for everyone, or what is the appropriate step. We helped with the testing of the incoming students, and we're still pulling that data together to look at that to
mm-hmm.
see if there's any issues that way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where it stands as far as enrollment. Those are the number of students enrolled, unless anybody withdraws one or.
We have a couple that are possible
next year. And so it sounds sounds like there are some students that are not returning anymore, so they might, those spots may be available.
So what is our enrollment cap again?
So 450 is the enrollment cap.
Plus
462 3%. Is the 3%. So we're still looking at it. There are some students that look like they're not.
Or performance don't meet our standards?
I would have to go back and look at the charter and see if there's anything. As far as I know, I don't know that there's anything like that. Other than there is something I know that's stated about academic performance and age will be looked at. So if a student enrolled early but was not performing high enough, that we wouldn't take them early if they were not performing at a high enough level for that grade.
We could not take someone early. It was kind of extra to take them early.
Yeah. So if we were not going to take somebody early, based on those, I would understand that it would be in that category. So their age doesn't, it's not grade appropriate, and they're not academically proficient to be in the grade that they're requesting to enroll in.
Yeah, but what I said was, if their age, is that enough? We could, if we didn't have to do a lottery, but we said, because of your age and because of the number of students we had, we feel like it'd be better not to have anyone. I mean, and then you don't have to tell them this because you're not doing that academically well.
Yeah.
Right.
So
that's right.
I'm going to search in the charter to find out the details. I just remember there was something about that. And so, in a sense, then, if there were another student who enrolled with a younger age, what would be the difference between taking one and
you'd
not
have to take
them? Anyway, so that would be, if I remember right, the academic portion was kind of the way that you would decide between those two students. So
that 3%, if we do over enroll by 3%, then we get funding for those extra 3%?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. This year. And they made sure that we're very clear that it is a 1 year for this year decision while that bill still sits in the legislature and hopefully will be read in March.
When you say this year, do you mean 17 or 18?
17, 18.
Other than that, did we have anything else on the director's report? I just went over the enrollment.
Yeah. No, and then the printer keeps jamming. I unjam and it jams.
Is it upstairs or down?
The upstairs.
Yeah.
Is that an IT issue?
This what?
Is that an IT issue?
Uh-huh. So yeah, I think that was it. And if you're able to open the director's folder. And I can go see if I can maybe send it to Superman and see if it'll...
Superman was working.
scheduled, but we have to do it of course. I think we'll probably be spot on. We'll see.
How many are the graduates doing?
I don't remember, it seems like there were three or four.
That's what I was gonna say, I thought three, but I'm not positive.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
There were graduates.
So of these.
Seems like there were 10 graduates total, but.
Because next year you're gonna have a whole school of them with graduates.
That's true. So that's. So, yeah.
There's nothing to think about, I thought about them.
Yeah.
Numbers.
Yep. Yep. Numbers were on the program. Oh, yes. Yep. These are the policies that were sent out to be approved. They are in the folder, here's a hard copy if anyone's interested. There's three documents right there. What were those during? There's this one here if you'd like.
Are these policies, sorry, I'm going ahead a little bit, but are these policies for this current year or for next year?
They would be for, some of them when we had in place, they just were not complete.
Mm-hmm.
So after the Title I review, then they gave us some open points that needed to be adjusted. So we had a parent-teacher compact, or a compact with the student and parent, but it was missing the teacher part, the school teacher part, and then the parent involvement policy. And maybe the only one that's... I think it's new.
Okay, so anything else on the director's report?
I don't have anything else on that.
Okay, and we've gone over the finance committee report. Do you have anything else on the finance committee?
So the other side of that sheet is just where we are on finance. Same as usual. Same form, some changes. Grace and I were going over it. We're looking to see, so the bottom line, we're quite a bit higher. We're going to go through in detail to find out where we can shift
some of the funds
so to see what we can do this year and what needs to be next year.
Also take care of some of those expenses.
Go. Okay.
And I guess the other thing we were looking at is there was an email with an additional revolving loan. I'm looking at that to find out if there's a limit or not that we can request.
Mm-hmm.
So if we did need to do the stairs, then we could possibly get the funding. That's what I mean, the exits
mm-hmm.
with the funds from the revolving loan. So I will see if I can have that figured out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Contact somebody and find out if there's a dollar amount, because we do have two other revolving loans, and I thought that there was, do you remember Suzanne? if there was a maximum amount. Can you request more before it's all paid back?
I don't remember for sure.
So that's the only part I'm not sure.
If the state sees a big increase over what was budgeted, do they do anything or do they say anything about it?
Yeah, they don't like to see money sitting there.
Right.
If it's sitting there, they wonder why and what we're doing.
And so we didn't hire as many people, so that as we've talked about before, and so I have been going back through. So the difference really is the number of people we plan to hire versus what we actually hired. There is some leveling out, so if you look at the salaries, last month there was a 26%, it's dropped to 23%. It is slowly dropping because we have more people now than we did at the beginning. So there is a little bit of that, but we really did not hire as many people as we had planned on, and it really adds up. So when I looked at the employee benefits, when you don't have to pay taxes on an extra $40,000 every month, over a full year, it builds up.
Kathleen, on that, because our salaries are spread over a 12-month time period that goes into the next fiscal year, is that accounted for here? Is that one reason why that amount is so high? Because the remainder of their salaries is going to be paid out in June, July, and August. Well, in July and August. In July and August paid, that's three pay periods that are actually part of next fiscal year, but they're growing from this fiscal year.
They will be expensed in this fiscal year because we will just accrue the payments, but the expense will hit this year. So that is accounted for.
And I know that, you know, in previous experience that I had, the district actually cut all the summer checks at the end of June during the fiscal year that funding was allocated. But I'm just wondering if that's one reason why, because we allocate certain dollars for expenditures, and we really have, again, three pay periods, and that's a pretty massive expense that's going to be paid out next fiscal year.
Yeah.
Which would indicate why it's not already
deducted. Well, that would affect cash flow, but this is based on the actual expenditure, so...
So we're taking that annual salary along with everything else, and that's what's included?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that whole annual expense, if you look at the budget side, that whole amount in the salaries category is the expense for the whole year. It's not accounting when we're paying it out.
So it's taking
just
those contract amounts with all the taxes and everything else.
And so then I split it over the months to create that projected so that it would accrue each month so I could see where should we be approximately.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gives our projected amount, and
okay,
it goes year to date, and then our actual. So as far as expenses, it will be expensed at the end of the fiscal year, whether it's paid out or not.
And as we're discussing this, you know, we've got to come up with I'm throwing it out there for right now. No decision has to be made, whatever, but there's a teacher shortage in the state, and in response to that, then some of the other districts have greatly increased their starting teacher salary. And so that may need to be taken into consideration for next year. Just a thought.
Yeah, we gotta take a look at that.
Yeah.
Any questions?
We've got the money in the budget for it.
That's
like
what I'm thinking.
Sense.
I don't want to try to invent expenditures. Our teachers are working hard, and
right,
I would just
yeah
as soon put that into salaries for them than to try to figure out something else we can spend the money on.
I think that was actually in the plan as far as reviewing what the salary is versus market right now. And then it was mentioned doing a step salaries based on whether these requirements were met as far as our existing teachers, and then trying to decide what our basic starting salary would be.
Yeah.
I do agree we do need to get closer to market, but I know that is in the plan.
Okay,
and
like I say, it doesn't have to be a discussion here. I'm not asking
yeah
for a decision. I'm just throwing that out for information so that everyone kind of has an idea that, you know, we're looking at this, do we look at bonuses for even this year? If we're looking for something to spend the money on.
Yeah.
I think our teachers,
and
our staff
that's one
need
of our categories
to
for sure.
receive that.
Yeah, I do think that's one of our categories for sure that we would look at to see where we spend the additional revenue.
Okay. Cool. Is our fiscal year end in June?
Sorry, what?
June 3rd.
June 3rd is the fiscal year end. Okay.
Yes.
I thought the state wanted you to have a certain buffer going.
There is.
So what's that buffer? And how high above that are we?
The minimum is 5%. They like to see an 8%.
What are we at?
23%.
23.
Well.
Or.
It's 15. You're up, yeah.
That's 2.
How was it?
Let's see.
How are you?
Hang on. 15.
It's just about 12 or so. It's 13 or so.
So
it's right
substantially higher. So you drop it from
8% of your revenue. Just don't hang on.
So yeah, it's about 15%.
Was our original budget to be like 5% over revenue or of the revenue?
It was of the revenue. I'm looking at the equation.
Or
this is
what was our original budget projected,
yes,
that we would be at 5% of revenue?
No. See, this is 248 is 8%.
248 is
8%,
and 5% is 155.
I think we should just
155, which is 140.
So
okay, cool.
Part of it is in the earlier years, they want to make sure you can cover everything. So
they like it a higher, but anyway, that's just what I've heard. I'm learning lots of stuff. So. That seems really good for a first year. Other than the fact it's bad because we were hurting for teachers.
Yeah,
and
we were
that would have helped a lot,
teachers.
Potentially.
Yeah.
That's because at Vanguard, we pride ourselves on excellence in managing money.
We do.
I know you want a budget. Not in the budget.
Good.
For you.
Okay, anything else on the finance? We skipped the governance committee, and I didn't make it to our last governance meeting, but
I don't think we have.
I don't think we have. We missed it.
No,
I know we were kind of looking for the management report.
On my desk.
Exactly. Do we have any updates on that that we want to present in this meeting? Or?
Scott gave it back before he went to China, but he didn't review it.
Okay.
So
we don't have any points on it either.
We're not open,
okay,
but I'm sure.
Do you mind if you take it tonight?
Yeah, so it's on my desk.
No,
go through it.
Okay, maybe we'll go on to the academic assessment. Update, turn that over to Maria and Joy.
And Joy.
And Joy and Joy. Both of you.
Yeah. So not a whole lot new in assessment. We have started our official SAGE testing this week. We have our high school reading and our junior high writing this week, and we'll just be, anyway, going through that until the second to last week of school. I did, however, want to mention, so last meeting, I think it was, when we talked about the ACT results and how that went, or maybe it was the one before, I guess it was the one before, but not long after we had our ACT testing, then Kathleen, Joni, Joy, and I went to an ACT training that was offered from ACT, and as we were there then, they gave awards and things to different schools, and they kind of highlighted some excellence in the ACT performance in different schools, but and I've done some more research on it, and it is the 18 points that the state looks at on that composite score for points toward or below that to lose points on your state grade. But as we were there, we realized that 25 is actually usually an acceptable composite, and for kids that are looking to get scholarships, they need to have over 30. And as I saw that, we were quite short. We had two students that were over 25,
And so we've talked about it and discussed because we feel like we see definitely some need for improvement there. And that's one reason that we've decided to put in an ACT prep course for next year. And I think that'll make a really big difference on helping our kids have what they need and be ready for that. So, yeah, I just wanted to mention that. And we'll know more on the stage later.
Is that what you found out those exceptional schools did?
Yes. Yep. And we have, we did get information from other schools at that training on what they've implemented in their ACT prep classes.
I saw a clip on some kid that got excellent, that was teaching the class. He teaches it online even to make sure you get a really good score on your ACT.
Huh.
I think he was an Indian origin.
Huh.
So that. We're looking at that being an actual course offered, mm-hmm. a mandatory course.
Kind of, it's an elective, highly recommended.
And that was actually one thing that was brought up by the schools at the training too, is that how they went back and forth between required or recommended, and they all seemed to feel like that you're not doing yourself any favors by requiring it because you're possibly forcing a kid that's not even interested in college, and then anyway, it's just kind of make it a little more difficult. But I think if we were to advertise it right to the students and the parents, and I think it would be.
What percentage of our kids took the ACT and the students?
All 11th graders.
All
11th graders.
All 11th grade.
Everybody.
So is it required? The state wants all the 11th graders to take it, so yes. That is the state's 11th grade test.
And then we have some 10th graders who are in the secondary math 3 honors, and once they've completed the secondary 3 course, they're eligible to take concurrent enrollment math classes, the 1050. So those who had that are in the secondary 3 honors were able to take the ACT with our 11th graders.
So out of 54, only 2 scored 25.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a 25 composite?
Yeah.
What was the area that you were the lowest in?
Reading.
Was it reading or science?
It was reading or science.
Science.
I
thought it was
either
reading. Writing or language or something.
I think it was reading.
I think it was reading.
Tell us the 4 parts again. Math, science.
Reading and writing.
Mm-hmm.
It was English and reading.
English and
math, science,
English and reading.
And then next year they will also do writing. Utah has decided to add in the writing for next year.
Pretty sure it's reading girls, English is the last.
Hmm. How's the siege going?
Just started
there,
today.
Yeah,
so.
Yesterday was the first day. Of testing.
Or yesterday, I guess.
Yeah. So we're just getting going.
Do we feel like we were prepared?
I think more in some areas than others. I think we've, I think we're going to see definite growth from last year. And I think we will have growth from last year.
And our teachers are motivated.
Yeah, our teachers have been really, really positive about it, and as I've been in the sessions as they're starting their testing, they're doing a really good job at making the kids be aware and helping them understand that it is important, and a kid raises his hand, and does this count on my grade, and one of the kids next to me, no, but you still have to try, which I appreciated the positive peer pressure there from the other students, but the teacher did take the time and explain to the class that this will represent you, it'll represent me as a teacher, it'll represent your other teachers, it'll represent our school, and just kind of let them know that it really matters and it counts for a lot of things, even though it's not going to be on your grade. And teachers have, anyways, each teacher does a little bit differently, but some of the teachers are taking them through a 2-minute little visualization and, just kind of helping them, but I do feel like the teachers have been very positive about it and really encouraging to our students.
By our next meeting, will there be any data to report to us?
I don't think by the next one, but because we'll finish May, 19th? I think May 19th.
And then we'll have the meeting the next week.
Our meeting and our concert are scheduled the same night, just FYI.
Okay.
And next month. The board meetings.
We probably ought to push it to a day earlier. A day later.
Or a day later.
Day later Wednesday.
A day or a week.
A week, yeah.
We have our board meeting next week, is that what you're saying?
Next month's meeting is on the end of the concert.
So I guess we will have data for our next one.
We could push it a week because we'd still be in May.
The kids know their scores instantly for science and math. And for English, then they know within 24 hours of finishing the writing and reading.
Does the school get the data that fast?
Yeah. Yeah, we could pull it up as soon as it's there. As soon as they're finished, we can pull it up and see it.
It's raw data. It's not official.
Yeah.
But it tends to be fairly close to where it will.
Get an idea. We'll see how many people.
Yeah. Yep. The proficiency scores won't change. The 1, 2, 3, and 4 won't change. But the skills or the raw data might.
You say it's May
23rd.
We could do the 5th.
Fifth
Tuesday instead of the 4th.
Is there a 5th? May 30th
is
the 5th Tuesday.
Yeah, I forgot there are meetings later in the month, but we'll finish testing on the 19th, so we will have
to finish on the
8th. May 30th, it's a Tuesday, right after Memorial Day.
Yeah, I'm going to be gone that day. But that's okay.
I
will be gone that day.
So do we want to push it to Wednesday, or do we want to...
Or we can go to that Wednesday after, if that works for everyone.
I don't think
the 24th.
The 24th.
There's a conflict on the 30th. Scouts.
Yeah. Yes, let's, if the 24th is okay with everybody, let's do that. Okay, anything else on assessment?
I don't think so.
Okay, the next item is the HR report. I had a little bit on that.
So, what this is a list of, the top of it is teaching positions, and you'll see that each teacher has been given a semester one, semester two schedule. Some teachers are available one semester, others available a different semester. So I broke it out that way. I also took it out to the end where you can see the FTE, which is full-time equivalent as far as employee. So you can see what percentage of teacher they are on that final row. And then the funding source right now, and that's just my guess at this point, there may be a teacher or two or a paraprofessional or two that needs to, we need to pull funding from Title I or IDEA. So we tried to kind of put that in where that is just for budgeting purposes. And so you can see who's full-time, who's part-time, and that's based upon the teacher's intent to return form and their preference as far as what they teach and how long they teach. And then below that, then there is admin, office staff, and paraprofessional. And the percentage of employee on paraprofessional is a guess. It's, you know, a lot of them are in college. They don't have their college schedules yet, so we don't know what that percentage will be exactly. It could be higher, could be lower.
Sounds like we're moving the better.
There are a few, and I maybe should have identified new ones. There are a few new hires for next year that are not on staff this year. Just starting from the top, Rebecca Andrews is new. She's graduating this summer with her bachelor's in English. Interview was very, very strong. She's going to school. She may be available more than what is listed there, but right now it's part-time. Jessica Jenkins plans to go back and get her master's. I'm encouraging that. We met with Salt Lake Community College. They are recommending that we can grow our own concurrent enrollment program because they are also looking at teacher shortage. They lost 100 staff members this year. And what did they say? 60 of them or 40 of them were like 25 years or more experience working with them. So they're also scrambling trying to find qualified personnel to cover classes, so they don't know that they have any adjunct professors to send over to us. And so we are really, it would be in our best interest to have a master's degree in English so they can teach concurrent enrollment 10-10 and 2010. So that she's looking at a program that's a 15-month program, which would put her in line to start teaching English classes in the 2018-19 school year. And Slick says that if they work as an adjunct teacher on site, then it expedites the process in being able to teach the 2010. She'd be able to teach 10-10 here and possibly do a 10-10 class on campus. We could send our kids over there to her, but that expedites that process in allowing her to teach 2010. So I'm encouraging that she does finish that master's degree. We have a little bit of cushion here with the additional staff member with Rebecca in place that it would probably be a good time for to move forward with that. We also have Tansy O'Brien, who interviewed to take the rest of our music classes. With the increase enrollment, we will have a need for an additional music teacher. So those classes are signed there. Jasmine Owen is a student teacher next year. So the first semester she'll be doing student teaching. Second semester she would be able to take on that. That's why on her funding there's a none on the first semester and Title I on the second, because that would be for class size reduction that she's able to do that. Sheree Reynolds is planning to come on board as a special education teacher, possibly taking some of the responsibility for the special ed department. Mary Summers would be coming on after completing her student teaching in the fall, available to teach Science 7 and PE. She did just pass her praxis, so it's just down to doing the student teaching to be prepared, and she plans to get an endorsement in science. Anybody else new? I think everybody else is currently on board. There are a few questions on some of them. They don't know if they'll return. They'd like to, but they don't know if they will. Amanda Walton is one of those. And the rest of them, I think that they've pretty much said that they hope to come back, but they're looking at college schedules to see how much time they can give. I did the list.
This Joni.
Joni's my Yeah. I told Kathleen, I hope I got everybody
else.
We'll get her in there. So Joni is still planning to come back.
Offer, and they did accept to driver's ed. We have two driver's ed teachers to do the driving portion. So our last driver's ed teacher was brought up before she decided to be completely retired. She enjoyed that, and so we have two teachers, but between the two of them, we should be able to get the number of hours that we need for our students to do the driving portion.
And one of them would like to actually teach the class in the summer, and so we are looking at doing that, because right now our kids are taking the online class portion and then driving here. So one of the teachers is available to teach a class through the summer for those kids who are ready for that, and then they can drive as well.
So will they be doing driving with students that are not doing the class here? Like, so will they be driving through the summer either way?
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Okay. Well, is that everything? Okay, let's go on to the Title I documents vote. walk us through a little bit?
Oh, Title I, they did their review, came on site. There were a few issues that we had that we needed to resolve. They were fairly minor. It was actually, I thought, went really well. They were pleased with our classes. They were excited to see the kids. Every class we walked into, and we just walked in unannounced, kids were anxiously involved in the work that they were doing, most of them using our Chromebooks so they could see that their Title I funds were going to good use, because some of Title I funding was used for the Chromebooks. And that's one of the points that we have to make sure we correct. We've got to make sure that the Chromebooks that were purchased with Title I funding do have a Title I sticker on them. And so we've got to take a picture of that. A couple other things that we didn't have in place or weren't completely in place was the parent involvement policy, which includes Title I specific verbiage, and also the parent-student compact. We didn't have the teacher responsibilities in our compact. We did have the parent and student responsibilities, but not our staff responsibilities. So our school improvement committee met to review that and to discuss what it should look like and what things we should include. Prior to that, our staff met for our Friday meeting, and they really worked together to create our staff list and came to consensus on what our responsibilities would be. So that's what's in there, and it was approved by the School Improvement Committee and ready for board approval.
Are you recommending we approve the draft that we were sent?
Yes. So the pieces that you were sent, and then there were also two other pieces that were from the finance end of things that were submitted on a second email. Those were also part of the Title I approval process.
Yeah, there as mentioned, the cash policy, they just asked to add that the checks were made payable to Vanguard. So we put that wording into the policy, and that the purchasing policy was more specific as to which code we would be following and what the steps were. So that has been updated in those two policies.
Do we want to look at the vote on all four of them as a packet, or do we want to go through each one individually?
It could be either way.
Does anybody have any?
How was the procurement policy drafted? Is it one a template that we took from another school? Or? Mm-hmm.
And reference, I did pull up the codes to see what they were and make sure that they were compliant.
Good. That's what I was wondering. Good.
So, yeah.
So one of the questions I had on this parent involvement policy, do we have the annual Title I meeting?
Yes, it's included in our back to school night.
Okay.
And as long as we discuss, which we did last year or this year, Kathleen did announce that we are a Title I school receiving Title I funds and that they're used to help. And for our purposes this year, the funding was used to reduce class sizes, which is why we have an additional math teacher in place, and that was Lauren Green. And then we also were purchasing some of the Chromebooks were purchased with Title I funds. And then we also increased Marie's hours as technology person and in helping our staff and students access technology using the devices that were purchased with Title I funds. So part of Marie's salary, all of Lauren's salary, and the cost of the Chromebooks and cart were used. Title I funds were used for that.
So we feel like we've met all of these requirements. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And would continue to do so. The only thing that we have left to do, we actually need to apply to be school-wide Title I, which means that it's just there. You can either have target assist or school-wide. Target assist means that you identify students who are at risk of failure and you put the funds that direction. Or in school-wide, it basically, like reducing class sizes and putting things out to the classrooms is how the school-wide funds are used. Being careful that it's used to supplement
what we're doing, not to supplant, not to take the place of what's already there. It has to be something in addition to or above and beyond what we would normally do without that funding. But out of about 80 points, we had five points that, and that's what we're bringing to you now for approval. That's
that sounds good.
Yeah. They said they're not here to do the gotcha mentality. They're really here to mentor and support us and getting things lined up the right way.
I have a question on those purchases. Must be approved. Grab for David to answer. It says on the first paragraph of the first year, we took procurement code. At Utah Code such and such. Later on in the paragraph it refers to procurement code. Does that legitimately refer back to the first paragraph by the way it's written?
One of them's the general Utah Code and the other one's the administrative code. They're two different bodies of law. The administrative code is rules that an agency will draft, and the first one, the procurement code under 63G, that's what the legislator drafts and makes into law. So
when it refers to procurement code later on in the document, what's that referring to?
That would be referring back to the Utah code.
Okay. I just want to make that, if that was clear in the way it's written.
So which one are you referring to that referred back?
The second paragraph.
The second paragraph?
The eighth? Is it eight?
The eighth, there's a couple of them.
Seventh.
I think it would be refer to both of them in that eighth paragraph.
The sixth and the seventh. seven and eight, yeah, both refer to.
In general, I think it refers back to the Utah Code 63G. But,
okay.
I mean, one is a subset of the other. One is detailed instructions or detailed rules.
I just want to make sure it's clear.
Yeah, I think
it
was
a question.
I don't think it's any ambiguity.
Let's see. On the cash policy, it says you make deposits every 24 hours, but then it says something about at least weekly. If they're made other than daily. Is secured area clear also with limited access?
Is there a lockbox or something that they're kept in? Or?
There's a cash register thing, and it's within the one an office that is kept locked, unless the secretary's in there.
So the 24-hour deposit is, if it's in excess of 1,000, and otherwise it's just.
Mm-hmm. It says 24 hours or when
or
it's in
when
excess of 1,000.
Then it says if you don't do it every 24 hours, then you have to do it at least a week.
I think it's
supposed
to be if.
I think that makes more sense.
Or anyway, it might have said or weekly anyway.
And then if it's 24 hours means that if it's on Friday, then you can still deposit it, I guess, at night. But
And when I was at the last director's meeting, they actually clarified that and they just said 24 hours and they referred to banking days.
Okay. Should the or be taken out?
Probably. And I wonder if you would add the word banking to it, because like I said, that was something that was just clarified or brought up at the last director's meeting, that it would be banking days.
If there's no more comments, I'll move that we approve them all together with those two changes.
Okay, all in favor of approving these four?
Is it seconded?
Darren. Yeah, Darren.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. All in favor of approving all four policies as a group, say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. So we have approved all four policies. And that's our last item on the agenda. Do we have any discussion? We can move to a closing.
I'll motion to close.
All in favor of closing?
Yes.
Yes.
All opposed? Okay, it's officially we're closed.